Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In their purest forms, brand and user experience have always been difficult for marketers everywhere to reconcile, and that's particularly true of B2B organisations. I'm joined today by directors at Site, Daph Pritchard and Laura Bent, to talk about what business marketers can do about this reconciliation. Daph, Laura, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Dave. Nice to meet you.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Great to have you here. So, first of all, can you introduce yourselves and tell us a bit about what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Laura Bent, one of the directors at Site. 20 years working in advertising industries with a real sort of passion for brand planning, research and insight. Ran my own agency for about 7 years before merging with Site 2.5 years ago to really sort of help strengthen the agency's brand offering.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm David, or Dav Pritchard. I kind of set Site up back in 2000. So my background is largely kind of digital and UX and very much from a kind of creative perspective. And then together we've kind of developed this proposition, having kind of merged and really kind of wrestled with how we get our two skills to really kind of complement one another. So these days our proposition is very much around balancing that brand strategy piece, big ideas, and then delivering, you know, just proper, really kind of good quality digital experiences through web and demand and lead generation campaigns, just making sure it works at every kind of touch point.
Great. So what are the chances? We're talking today about how we harmonize those two things. How do we harmonize brand and user experience? So first of all, tell me, what does this mean for B2B organizations?
So I think, first of all, what we need to do is understand what we actually mean by brand and by user experience. So for us, that brand experience is absolutely that sort of accumulation of the sort of the visual, the tonal aspects of the brand, how we behave. Think about it as sort of how we walk, how we talk, how we look. User experience, I guess, sort of traditionally is very much thought of in as a digital experience on a website, for example. Yeah. But we really want to expand that view of user experience. I guess it's sort of as it sort of crosses over into customer experience, but it's about that experience at every touch point with that brand, whether it's some content that you've engaged with on LinkedIn, whether it's a survey you've been involved in, a video you've watched, and then the experience through the website or through that sort of customer service side of a business as well. How the brand plays out at all of those touch points.
Yeah, and in terms of harmony, I think the really interesting part is when it's actually when we see a tension in the first instance. And you know, it's a really familiar scenario, I think. We were talking about this only recently, weren't we, about how with one particular client who we won't go into any details about, but there's certainly a real tension between the brand managers' desire to get their latest brand video emblazoned across their website. It was, you know, about 3 minutes long and clearly very sparkly and expensive. And their UX guy was just really, really putting up a fight. You know, in his view, it was introducing unnecessary friction, and it was just preventing users from achieving their need from the website. So that harmony piece is really only achieved in that scenario if the quality and the creativity behind the brand video actually meets the overall requirement from a usability perspective. So, you know, there's no right or wrong here. It probably comes down to the quality of the video. You know, that piece must enhance. It has to be something that makes the user experience extra special rather than hindering it. You know, and conversely, you know, there's every argument to say that a really slick user experience actually provides brand leverage. So it's really important that we don't silo these two aspects.
Yeah. And what would you say the importance of creativity was in business marketing?
Oh, I think it's so important. I think, you know, when you look at the B2C counterparts, it's very easy to find really great examples of great campaigns, great creative marketing. It can be a bit harder within B2B. I think the LinkedIn B2B Marketing Institute actually published some research stats that are quite interesting, which talk about how powerful creative can be sort of 10 to 20 times more effective for a brand in really sort of elevating that brand's share of voice. But as I said, you often see that within B2C, but with B2B, there's just a lack of that creativity, to the point that actually in that same research, they were talking about how B2B marketing is 150 times more likely to be rated as mediocre rather than exceptional from a creative point of view. So those B2B sort of opportunities to maximize on creativity, to really kind of push that brand and to, you know, accelerate our brand share of voice, we just miss them time and time again because we're so focused on the detail of our service, of our product all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very easy to lose out on the whole kind of emotional piece that we're really familiar with from a consumer market. So, you know, words like love and passion, which, you know, might drive all those kind of campaigns are about really relating on a kind of consumer level, all too often just left cold in the B2B world. And it's really important that we bring that passion and love back into our world, I think, creatively. And you know, again, that comes back down to that harmonizing piece, that love and passion and creativity, that has to be a brand piece. It has to be a user experience piece. It has to feel completely joined up right across the board. And actually, it has to go further than just the kind of manifestation from a kind of a visual perspective. I think real creativity in B2B has to be driven through all our activities. It has to go into how we think, not just about headlines, but how we think about media planning or the technologies that we work with. You know, how can we be more creative and how can we apply creativity across all those different aspects? That's what real harmony kind of boils down to.
And is it do you think that's why it's so hard? You know, we've just kind of taken all of the passion out of business marketing. Why do you think business marketers just find it hard to prioritize creativity and focus on brand in the way that, you know, many other B2C firms do?
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes down to budgets in B2B and the time scales, the buying cycles are longer. So you can't, it costs money to invest in a brand campaign. We all know that. And to really kind of do that real in-depth piece of work around understanding what's at the heart of our brand, what our brand story is, and ensuring that is comes through in all the activity that we do. And I think because of those longer buying cycles, it's hard to convince the business and show the value of some of that brand activity because you don't see immediate results from it, like perhaps you will do from a hard-hitting sales activation lead gen campaign. Mm. But the issue that comes with that is that those sort of sales activation campaigns, they're almost like sort of little spikes on a graph. They're little spikes of activity every now and again, and you'll see a little push and everybody will get excited that, you know, oh great, we got 20 leads come in and look, it's all working. Very quickly it dies off again, and then you're on to, well, what's the next thing? When you see brands that work this really well and that balance both brand campaigns alongside, lead activation and kind of lead gen campaigns, you see that you have a steadier kind of build-up over time of those incremental sales. What we're doing is we're warming up that market, those prospective buyers, but it takes time to do that.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that the problem is that that's not a very sexy activity. So, you know, not surprisingly, there's not a lot of passion, you know, quite honestly, just being human about the whole thing. One of the things that I think a lot of it boils down to is insecurity. It's insecurity around our data. It's, an awful lot of B2B businesses will invest very heavily in their marketing stack. But, you know, we're all familiar with that scenario where people are not secure and confident in actually using it properly.
Yeah.
And what we see is that there's a huge wastage of energy and budget and everything else goes into, I guess, putting faith in the technology as opposed to putting faith in the creative idea.
So that insecurity is within the marketing team you're talking about.
I think it's within the business as a whole. Yeah. And I think it takes, you know, it takes strong, passionate, powerful marketeers in order to really convince the business of the power of that brand can bring. And I think it takes an investment of time from that business. So I was talking to one of my clients the other day, and Dad was just talking there about the marketing stack and having that in place and having the data in order to demonstrate the value. Hmm. And if that marketing stack isn't properly in place, it's very, very hard for a marketing director to say that lead that just came in and just converted and that £500,000 sale we just got, that actually the first time that organization interacted with us was as a result of seeing a brand campaign and clicking through to our website and having a little look around and finding some information. You can do that and the data is there to do that, but you've got to have the tech in place and be using it properly for a decent amount of time in order to get that level of insight.
Completely. And actually, again, that comes back down to that harmony piece, because actually when all those things, you know, it's a bit cliche, but it is kind of about orchestration, you know, and just like an orchestra, you know, when everything is working properly, then we have the faith and the confidence to invest in those brand pieces, to alongside them run some proper performance pieces, to build a website which delivers an exceptional user experience, and actually all the data that demonstrates that over a course of time, it's yielding results. And, you know, I think the time pressures in B2B, are quite different to the consumer world, because there isn't that immediacy that we spoke about. You know, people, it's not like buying a PlayStation. We don't invest hundreds of thousands of pounds in technology or in, I don't know, building materials or whatever it might be on a whim. You know, it's something that doesn't lend itself so well to emotional decision-making, I guess.
Okay. But in spite of all of that, right, let's hope at least, there are some organizations that are getting it right. So can you give us some examples of B2B brands that you think are getting it right at the moment?
Yeah, I think for us, we work with an awful lot of brands within that sort of tech sector, especially around sort of SaaS and software. And these are brands that have been born in the digital age.
Right.
You know, they don't know any different. Their whole product has been sort of had that UX piece baked into it right from the very start. They invest time developing personas, developing user journeys, customer journeys, and really understanding how prospective customers are engaging with their product, etc. The ones that then, those SaaS companies that then really go on to be successful, absolutely understand that the role that brand plays, because often those kind of organizations are in highly saturated markets. There are multiple hungry tech startups all in the same area, and they're all vying to be the one that comes to the top. And if they only rely on their product features and benefits, they will just be copied and copied and copied, and you know, it just becomes wallpaper and you don't know how to define one from another. So that brand story for those SaaS brands is absolutely imperative if they want to be the ones that's going to come to the top and really stand out. We've got a client called We Are. They work in that kind of learning environment at the moment. They're very startup. But we started working with them right when they were kind of at that seed funding stage, because they understood that if they didn't get that brand story right from day dot, they weren't going to have the global success that was needed to enable them to attract more investment into their business.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, in terms of big SaaS brands, and we were talking the day about... I think Xero is a really, really good example. You know, as a, it seems weird now that they were, you know, such a young pretender not so many years ago. And, you know, to go head to head with Sage, which was seen as such an established beast of a piece of software, was you know, quite brave, you know, but they absolutely understood that success required that whole piece around a new digital first user experience from a product point of view, but that had to be supported and in effect pushed and amplified by really strong brand messaging and you know, a brand campaign at its heart. And I think that, you know, we always hold them up as being a great example of getting it right. And also, you know, they exemplify, I think, that bravery piece that we spoke about in terms of not being afraid to bring some passion and some originality into the creative.
So what you've said is really, really good news for a portion of listeners to this podcast. And then there'll be others who are probably hovering their finger over the stop and delete button kind of right now. So for those organizations that perhaps don't fall into the category of, I don't know, new age, what can they do? How about the traditional B2B brands that perhaps weren't founded in the digital age?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, yes, we work with a lot of tech and SaaS, and that's exciting and fast paced, but also we also work with an awful lot of professional services, financial services, businesses within kind of building, trade and construction. And they are much more traditional, long-standing brands and organizations. They are often built on much more kind of analog values, relationships, face-to-face experiences. You know, the sales team traveling around and meeting the buyers, for example, or having a legal firm sort of having that relationship, sitting at the board, you know, the board table of their clients, etc. So for them, that challenge about how do they kind of carve themselves out a position in today's world where they can still bring what is true to the heart of their brand, which is relationships, and that isn't going to go away. But how do they bring that to life through digital experiences without sort of losing the heart of the brand? How do you deliver a personal relationship in a digital way? It can be really, really hard at times.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these companies have already been through pretty huge, you know, digital transformation processes, or they're right in the thick of it. I think that it's hard. You know, it's a real challenge for these brands to kind of embrace that. And exactly as Laura says, you know, they're kind of culturally, it's difficult. There's a real reliance on traditional sales, on things like conferences and exhibitions and all those scenarios, which I guess to us it seems quite unfamiliar these days in many situations. But you know, it's really important, and it's crucial to the way that they operate as companies. They're often kind of beholden to legacy systems that they have, software in place that they've been relying on for an awful long time, and kind of harmonizing all that stuff is very, very difficult. So a lot of the help that we provide in those scenarios is actually around education. It's around helping them plan and understand what a modern strategy should look like, and then just helping them with the execution piece to actually bring all that alive.
Okay. So if you're, let's not distinguish between traditional and new. If you're just a B2B brand that's struggling with balancing brand and user experience, what advice do you think you should offer?
I think one of the pieces of advice is, from my perspective, you know, being very brand passionate, I would say, you know, that is my background, is we talk about the marketing funnel, we talk about feeding the funnel, we talk about lead generation. I think it's understanding where people are in that funnel. The fact that within B2B, whether or not it's 95-5 rule, which I'm sure many people listening to this may be familiar with, or 80-20, the point of that rule is that most of our prospective clients are not in the market for our services right now. Mm. So relying just on the immediacy of much more, as I sort of talked about before, sales activation campaigns, hammering home product and service features and benefits in all the marketing that we do, and neglecting that more emotional brand piece, that piece that's going to differentiate us, means that what we're not doing is we're not filling the top of that funnel with highly engaged people who by the time they get through that funnel, when they're at that point where they have a need or they have a problem that actually I now need to go and research, you know, potential partners or vendors or suppliers in this area, we're on their mindset. They've heard of the brand, they've understood us, they're starting to connect us to their problem. And if we're not doing that brand activity, we've got to work even harder at that sort of bottom end of the funnel. And that's where you see lots of kind of discounting coming into play, and you know, and you're really starting to sort of erode the real value and quality in your brand, and it just becomes very much focused on who's got the best product features and benefits, and who's got, you know, who's got a new service offering, etc.
Yeah, I think what I'd kind of add to that, really, I guess I go back to the importance of being bold and creative. I think that, you know, that the one thing that B2B companies have to embrace is the fact that it's a bit of a, you know, I'm sure we've all discussed before, really, it's a bit of a false moniker, really, to use the term B2B as being different in some way. Ultimately, we're all marketing to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what connects with people is emotion and originality and all those things that are equally important in the consumer market. And what really comes down to is doing the homework, really understanding the audience, really understanding the market, and then having, you know, the right technology in place and the confidence to apply those great ideas right across the board. And I think that when that's done properly, we achieve that level of harmony that you know, we're talking about today, and it bears fruit right across the board. We have a great brand experience, a great user experience, and hopefully a great sales experience off the back of it.
So if people want to build on the discussion that we've just had now and maybe speak to site, what should they do?
They can have a great brand experience at our website, site.co.uk. alternatively, I think linking in with Laura and myself is probably a great way of getting in touch with us with a bit of immediacy, really.
Yeah. Give us your problems. We love a problem, a challenge that we might be able to, help unpick.
There you go. You heard it here first. Dav Pritchard, Laura Bent, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, David Pritchard and Laura Bent. And thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.